Holy Father, we thank you for you are such a generous giver. You have given us your word, the Holy Bible, your Son, your only begotten Son, to be our Savior, Redeemer, and you have given us the Holy Spirit. Oh, blessed Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. You are our teacher. So as we open up your word, we pray that you may teach us your truth. Remind us of your truth. Some of the truth we will mention tonight are familiar to us. But Lord, we need you to remind us and to fan the flame, that fire of love for you, zeal for our God and our Father. So come, Holy Spirit, guide the words of the preacher and the thoughts of the listeners, that together we may be filled with one Spirit, and that we may have a taste of heaven. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, let us turn to John chapter 14. First of all, verses 16 to 18, and then verse 26. Our Lord Jesus says, in the upper room, and I will literally ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Oh, dear friends, tonight, with fear and trepidation, I want to start a new series of studies with you on the Holy Spirit as our Comforter. You know, the topic of the Spirit can be controversial, and sometimes we may describe or articulate our experience in wrong terms or based on passages which do not teach them. So I do so with this almost dread in handling this subject. But why are we doing this? What's the reason that I should try something hard? Well, the first reason is because in the morning service, we have started a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And I thought if we should consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that would be complementary to the morning ministry of God's Word, because if we are going to consider the doctrine of the Holy Spirit for many weeks, it may be too much for some of our people. But if we consider the doctrine of the Holy Trinity in the morning, and then we have a complementary studies on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that may go smoother. That's part of the reason. But the main reason is that it's my earnest desire and prayer that in studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we may have a better and deeper communion with the Triune God. I don't know what is your desire in your Christian life. What is your greatest wish that God may give you? For myself, it's very clear. I want to have a deeper, closer communion with the Triune God, with the Father in His love, the Son in His grace, and that sharing or participation of the Holy Spirit. I hope that is your desire as well. Now, I do honestly say, I want to know God. And I do want to make Him known. I do want to enjoy Him more. Now, what we're going to do is to do something very humble. I hope to look together with you at some key passages about the Holy Spirit, and focusing especially on the Holy Spirit as our comforter. So our scope is more limited. We are not going to consider all the works of the Holy Spirit from creation, from working in the hearts of unbelievers, and so on and so forth. Well, we may do that later on, but to start with, we're going to consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit as our comforter. And that's why we pick up the two passages tonight like that. Now, the background to our Lord Jesus' promise of His gift of the Holy Spirit as another comforter, as you know, is the imminent departure of our Lord Jesus. In John chapter 14, those familiar words, our Lord Jesus said to His own disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." It was the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. The Passover meal, the last one that our Lord shared with His disciples, and He told them already that soon He will be betrayed, arrested, and be killed. The disciples were confused. Why should this happen to the Messiah? And they were in deep sorrows. They were so upset and sad. They had been with the Lord Jesus for the past 3 years. They have seen amazing things. How Jesus raised the dead, cleansed the lepers. How the Lord Jesus taught them those heavenly teachings. Can you just imagine the sermons they heard from Christ for the past 3 years? That enjoyment of listening to the teaching of Christ. Some of us have blessed memory of some mighty ministry of God's Word we have experienced. And we look back to those sermons we heard, and we were almost in heaven, was it not? But imagine the disciples. They were hearing the Son of God Himself teaching them publicly and in private. That sense of satisfaction and enjoyment and certainty just beyond description. They'll be helped, taught, and protected, and they felt tremendously comforted. They felt very secure. So long as Jesus is with us, we're fine. Doesn't matter the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whatever attack. Jesus always has been here with us, and he can just handle anything. But now they are told, the Lord is going to leave them. Can you imagine that? Well, you know, on that night, the Lord Jesus celebrated the last Passover with them, instituted the Lord's Supper. And in John chapters 13 to 17, what is usually called the upper room discourse, our Lord Jesus sought to comfort the disciples by teaching them a number of new things, especially supremely about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. I guess to many Christians, the doctrine of Holy Trinity is something so impractical. If the ministers should announce, I'm going to spend 10 weeks in preaching the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, the congregation may say, have you not got better things to say and teach? I hope the minister will say, no, not anything better than this. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is so practical. This is our life. We need to know this. And in John chapter 13 to 17, among other things, the Lord Jesus promises the disciples that he will give them another comforter or helper. Look at John 14, verse 16. Our Lord Jesus says, I will literally ask. I don't understand why the New King James translates this as pray. The word is ask, simple word. Why translate as pray? I don't know. I don't understand. Anyway, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Another helper, that is the New King James. I still remember my Greek teacher in college. I only got one Greek teacher, and he told us a number of times, well, there are two words in Greek about another. The first one is another of the same kind. And then there's another of a different kind. Now, I won't give you the Greek pronunciation, fearing that my pronunciation of Greek is so heavily affected by my Cantonese accent. So this might be Cantonese Greek. Allos, another of the same kind. A-L-L-O-S. Another of the same kind. The other word is where we have heterox or heresy. I should say heterox. Another of different kind. So here we have Jesus promising his disciples, I'm going to give you another of the same kind. Another helper like me. I'm going to ask the Father, and the Father will give you another helper to take my place, and he will abide with you forever. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, a bit of technical thing. The word there in Greek is paraclete. If you turn to the back page of the newsletter, I got an excerpt from the Oxford Shorter Dictionary. This is a big dictionary, it's called Shorter. It's not your pocket-sized dictionary. This is the summary of the standard, I think 10, 12 volumes of the Oxford Dictionary. And it got an entry called paraclete. And we are told this is from Church Latin, from Greek, ultimately. It means advocate, intercessor. It means someone who is called to help another person. And then it says it's the title of the Holy Spirit, especially as an advocate or intercessor, 15th century Latin, and then advocate, intercessor, about mid-16th century English. So here we have this word, paraclete, and in some of our hymns, we still use this word, paraclete. The reason we use this original Greek word for the Holy Spirit for Latin is because it's very hard to find one exact translation for this term. Now I'm going to read something from the standard dictionaries. Paraclete is someone who is called or sent to assist another. Okay, parallel, that means alongside, and then the klekos in Greek, well, if someone is called to help alongside as an advocate to plead the cause of another person, one who pleads another cause before a judge, a pleader, counsel for defense, legal assistance, an advocate. And then it comes to mean one who pleads another cause as an intercessor. And Christ our Lord in his exaltation at God's right hand is pleading with God the Father for the pardon of our sins. Just think of the intercessory ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I don't know whether you've thought about this. What is Jesus doing now? What is Jesus doing now? As the God-man, at the right hand of God, what is he doing? And the Bible is clear. He is advocating for us, interceding for us. He's standing there at the right hand of God, acting on our behalf. So much so that 1 John 2:1 says, John says to his own spiritual children, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a comforting reality. When you and I fall into sin, when we say, I muck it up again, I failed again, like this, I don't know for how many times, we are assured that we have a paraclete, an advocate with God. Jesus, the Savior, Christ the Messiah, the righteous one. Christ our Lord is pleading on our behalf. And this word paraclete, in the widest sense, is used as a helper, a comforter, an assistant, and the Holy Spirit is sent to take the place of Christ, to give Christ's people deeper knowledge of gospel truth, to give them the divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecution on behalf of God's kingdom. Who gives us a deeper understanding of the truth of God? Now we may think it's the teacher, the preacher, the minister. It's by reading Christian books, by studying hard. All of these are helpful and true. But what makes that knowledge or deeper knowledge of the gospel true is by the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll share this with you. I always pray to God, Lord, you lead me to read the book that will benefit to me, to my soul, and to my people. I pray like that. I don't pick up any books that I just want to read. There are many books I may be interested to read, but I would like to read books that can feed my soul, warm my heart, teach me God's truth. That's the sort of book I want to read. And the Lord always answers that sort of prayer. Pray like that. And then I found myself not having enough time to read those books. So I don't have time to read books which may be of interest to me. Well, so summing up, a paraclete is someone who is called, is given a task to be a helper alongside a person in need. So in the case of the law court, that person would be our advocate. Just think like this. I hope it never happened to any one of us. But if we are in trouble with the law, what do we need? We need a good lawyer. Not just a lawyer who got a degree or qualification. We want a good one. Right? You don't want to have a lawyer who just got a bare minimum pass in those exams. Right? We want someone who's capable and someone who's willing to help. And hopefully someone who does not charge such a terrible fee. Another person who is in prison and is charged of some crimes. I'm not sure whether he did those crimes or not. And he and his mother are saying to me that we're paid thousands of dollars to engage his lawyer, but it is so expensive and it's not helpful. And the mother said, I dare not to bring up the lawyer because every time he has a conversation with me, there's a fee. I dread to have a conversation with the lawyer. Well, I don't know how true that is. That's not my point. But you see, a good lawyer is expensive. I have another friend. This is a godly man. For sure, and he was accused of some terrible crime. And he told me, I think, $300,000 for the legal fee. His son paid for that. His son is a lawyer as well. Now, that's an advocate. If we're in trouble with the law, we need a lawyer. But can we afford it? What if the law is free and it's the best in the land? So that is a paraclete. And also, a paraclete is a helper. It may not be that we're in trouble with the law, but we need help. We need instruction. And a paraclete can also be a comforter. We are in sorrows. We are going through a difficult time. We need someone to comfort us. Now for the disciples of Christ. They've been with Jesus for the past 3 amazing years. And the Lord Jesus has been all this to them. The Lord Jesus Christ has been their paraclete. He was alongside them day and night. He advocates for them. He helped them. He comforted them, even in the upper room. Let not your heart be troubled. He's their protector. But now, he has told them, he'll be gone soon. And in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, the Lord Jesus is promising the disciples time and again to send them a replacement to take his place as paraclete with his disciples. Jesus says, I will come to you. How? In the person of the Holy Spirit. I guess to the disciples, when they hear that the Lord Jesus is sending them a replacement paraclete, they might not be too pleased. They will be saying, at least in their hearts, we don't want another paraclete. We want you, Lord Jesus. We don't want another comforter. We want you to comfort us. What are you talking about? I will call a Christian woman who was much younger than her husband, and her husband was a missionary, a minister, and she told me when her husband was about to die, her husband told When her husband's first wife was about to die, her husband's first wife told her husband, now, I'm going to die. You marry this girl. All right? She's going to look after you. She'll be good for you. She can be your secretary, your sister. And this woman told me, well, so I became my husband's wife as a replacement. Now, that is how it worked in days gone by. So here the Lord Jesus, listen to what he says. In John 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, helper. John 14, 26. And the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. John 15, 26. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth will proceed from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This may be the hardest part for the disciples to take this in. Jesus says to them, it's for your benefit, to your advantage, as you go away, because if I don't go away, the paraclete will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. It's better for you to have this replacement, advocate, comforter, than you having my physical presence. I wonder, friends, what would you choose? If you got a choice, we don't have a choice, of course, but if we got a choice, would you like to have the physical presence of Christ or the presence of the Holy Spirit? Which one would be better? You think through. If we still have the physical presence of Christ, what are we going to do? We're to fly to Israel and lie up like those people who waited to be cured by the Lord Jesus. It'll be a long queue, isn't it? There'll be thousands of people, and we have to wait for many hours to get a glimpse of Christ. But now, we have the Spirit of Christ with us. Wherever we may be, wherever we may meet. Think of these friends. Every time we come together, we have the Holy Spirit with us. Even at home, anywhere we may be, we may be alone, but the Spirit is with us. Now we move on to consider that the Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father and the Son. Or perhaps we should say, the Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father because of the Son. Look at John 14, verse 16 again. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Who gives the Spirit? It's the Father. The Father is the Spirit's gift to the church, to his people. John 14, 26. Our text. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." So, how this works is this. The ascended glorified Christ will ask the Father. And the Father will give the Holy Spirit at his request. So the Holy Spirit is the most generous and unspeakably rich gift from the Father because of the Son, his finished work, and his request to the Father. And it's interesting to note that when the Bible talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, it often uses this term that the Holy Spirit is poured out. Let me read to you some of these texts. I think it's printed on the newsletter. It is in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. God saved us. How? How did God save us? "Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom," that is the Spirit, "God poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." By the way, you see the Holy Trinity here? God saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is the Holy Trinity. The Son, the Father, the Spirit play different parts in our salvation. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us." Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. "Surely I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Isaiah, our old friend, chapter 32, verse 15. "Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest." Isaiah 44. God says here, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and flood on the dry land. I will pour my Spirit on my descendants and my blessing on the offspring." Well, we are Australian, we know this is it. We can experience a period of drought for an extended period of time, and then a downpour rain from heaven. Our English friends tell us, well, we don't have rain like this in England. It's always soft and gentle, not raining dogs and cats in Australia. Well, the picture here is that the land is very dry, and then God pour down His Spirit. We should be praying for that. In Joel chapter 2, and Peter quotes this prophecy, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." John 1:16, "And of God and of His fullness we've all received, and grace for grace." It's wave after wave of grace. Well, we know this in Maruba here, isn't it? We have a serving beach. We can go down there and watch wave after wave is so pleasing and beautiful and magnificent. On the day of Pentecost, Peter declared in Jerusalem about Jesus being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He, the informed Christ, poured out this which you now see and hear. So this is the picture. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners, finished the work of redemption, went back to glory, and that position He received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Having received the Holy Spirit from the Father, He poured down the Spirit onto the disciples on the day of Pentecost. The language of being poured out abundantly. In Acts 10, when Cornelius and his household and his friends heard of the gospel message and the Holy Spirit came down to them, the Jews who were with Peter there, they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. So this is the language of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is not given as an afterthought of God, as an unwilling gift. It's because of the finished work of Christ you receive His reward of the Spirit. And then Christ pours abundantly His gift from the Father to His people. So we are to appreciate and to thank God for this abundant gift. Can we really imagine that God the Father has poured out His Spirit on us? And the next thing we learn is that the Holy Spirit is going to live with us permanently. Listen again to John 14:16. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." The Holy Spirit is not going to leave us. Once we believe in Christ, we receive this gift from God, and the Holy Spirit is going to dwell with us permanently. The Holy Spirit is not going to leave us or abandon us. And think again, God the Spirit living in us, with us, and will not leave us. God's gift is far above and beyond any human imagination. The dreams of philosophers, the fantasy of false religion is to have some direct relationship with God. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will give the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not leave us or forsake us. Now, we need to clarify. That does not mean that the Holy Spirit will work uniformly with all believers and at all times. Well, there is a wrong impression amounted to, I would say, wrong teaching. It's something like this. The Holy Spirit is given to the church on the day of Pentecost. Given once for all. That's right. And then, some people tend to think, well, we are given the Holy Spirit, He's going to live with us permanently, He's not going to leave us, not forsake us. Therefore, we do not need to pursue and ask for a closer walk with God, for more calm and heavenly mind. We do not need to long for a greater, deeper enjoyment and communion with God. Now, some of you know this, some of you may not know this. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, for example, he was urging his listeners, don't be satisfied with the shallows and mysteries. Go for the deep things of God. And then some of the languages he used might not be 100% accurate. Talks about the baptism of the Spirit and so on. And that became controversial. And I know solid reformed teachers and leaders, they would say, no, don't ever touch Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's dangerous in that way. So because of that, don't even listen to him or read him. It's dangerous, it's not right. Well, here comes our difficulty. Sometimes our expression may not be 100% correct. We should endeavor to be 100% correct. And Lloyd-Jones might not be right to use the term baptism of the Holy Spirit in terms of what at least some Christians have experienced in a deeper way. Alright, so that's why I say with free interpretation I handle this subject. But what I want to say is this, dear friends. The Holy Spirit will not leave us, He will not forsake us. But the Holy Spirit is a sovereign. He is Lord, He is King. He is a person. The New Testament does say we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. And you and I are not to do that. When we sin, we grieve the Spirit, is the Spirit going to leave us? No. He will not abandon any of God's children. Is it possible? If I may put it like this to you, it's like Christian marriage. Well, some of us here are married tonight. In a Christian marriage, we are committed not to walk out of that lifelong exclusive commitment that we have vowed before the living God. We say, I make a vow before God. This is my wife, this is my husband, for life. I will not walk out of the relationship. But does that mean we can have an uniform, unvarying, loving interaction with our spouse all the times? Not necessarily. Even Christian couples, they can argue, and we can upset our spouse. Our spouse may not speak to us for a while, even though we know we're not going to walk out of the relationship. But a wife can be upset. There may not be loving interaction for a couple of days. But we do know, I hope some of you can say this, there are Christian couples who have never argued for a single day for 50 years. Right? Is it possible? Yes! Do you want that? Yes! Do you want to cultivate that sort of relationship? Yes! And as God's people, as Christ's people, we know the Holy Spirit is living with us. We know when we believe, we are sealed with the Spirit. He's not going to abandon us. But we can grieve Him. And you and I are not to grieve Him. You and I are to pursue that constant, loving, deeper enjoyment, communion with the triune God through Christ by the Spirit. I'll end with this. I quite like Andrew Bowman. I think he's a good companion. You know, everyone is different. But Andrew Bowman is blessed, well, was blessed with good health all through his life. Yeah. He died after a short illness of a couple of days. And he was always steady, peaceful, calm, joyful. When he dreamed, he would dream of Christ and he would smile. He was a happy soul. He's a good companion for us. And it's something we want to have, isn't it? Well, we appreciate the help William Calvert, his hymns can give us. And there are Christian people like David Brennan who could be down for some time, and they got his ups and downs. But we decide to have a calm, heavenly walk with the Lord, ever deeper, ever sweeter. God be willing, we can be moved to tears, but we don't need tears every day. We don't need even tears at all, but we want to walk with the Lord in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Well, we'll stop here tonight, and God be willing, we shall pick up this blessed subject. Let's pray. Blessed Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. You are our teacher. We humbly confess before you, the best of man is man at best. We do confess in the long history of the Church, even the greatest pastor, theologian can make mistakes, but Lord, we are to follow their footsteps of love for you and a desire for you. Oh, we dare pray that we may not be happy with our shallows and miseries. May we pursue the knowledge of God. May we come to know Christ better and deeper. May we be more accurate in our articulation and teaching and doctrine and theology. But Lord, above all, may we know your love that passes understanding, that we may love you and the breath, and that we may spread and carry the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. Help us, we pray. Give us wisdom as we look at this subject of the Holy Spirit, and blessed Spirit, you be our guide. Because of Christ Jesus our Lord.